Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from the Culinary Institute of America in Hyde Park, New York. I had the great privilege of interviewing author Richard Price in March for the book show at the Morton Memorial Library. It was the first time I was there. I fell in love with this 1905 historic structure along Kelly Street in the hamlet of Rhinecliff, New York. They even have a library cat. Alan, is his name is Julio.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think
he stole the show, and he came right up on stage. He was great until we found out that our guest had cat allergies. And then we had to unfortunately remove Julio. But until then, it was great. But this morning, Joanne Meyer is here. She is the executive director of the library. Joanne, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
And he's not allergic to you, I hope.
No.
Hope not.
We also welcome Tom Sloan, the executive director of the Mid-Hudson Library System, a consortium comprised of 66 libraries in Dutchess, Ulster, Columbia, Greene, and Putnam counties. He joins us to talk about the library systems, the bigger picture for libraries in this region.
And it's great to have Tom and Joanne here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A great pleasure. So this is interesting. How far are you away from, how far is the Morton Memorial Library from campus?
I'd say about a 20-minute drive.
Okay. So, but this is in your region, right?
Of yes.
The six, it's a very big region.
Almost 3,000 square miles across the five-county area, 66 libraries at 69 locations.
Well, you know, Joe is a fierce proponent of libraries. He's a great library hero. So let me be the bad guy here and ask you this. Are libraries in trouble? I mean, you know, are they in fiscal trouble in terms of funding them? Do people understand it? Are they open enough? Do they provide sort of access to the community that we had once known them to do?
Libraries are changing, and I think that we are changing as our community needs are changing. The libraries are very connected to their communities. They're governed by public library boards of trustees who have great roots and great engagement in their communities. A January 2015 Siena poll showed that statewide public library use was up 10%. It also found that 94% of New Yorkers say that public libraries are key to their educational engagements.
So just following up on that for a second, in my home, we have a lot of books. But I find I don't use the books much. I almost always use the computer to find something, and I'm wondering whether that's affected the way libraries are.
I think certainly finding information using the computer, certainly search engines like Google have changed the ways that people use information. But as you, I'm sure as a user, find out that you can put in a search term in Google and get back 99 million hits. So there's also the question of knowing what is the best information to use. Digital literacy is
true.
A key role that public libraries are playing across the state of New York. We are digital literacy trainers. We help people learn how to use the new devices that they're receiving. We're teaching children how to be wise users of information and to be able to evaluate information that's easy to get, but not necessarily easy to understand. And that's a key role that librarians and libraries play.
You want to add anything to that, Joanne?
Yes, I want to tell you an anecdote from my little library in Rhinecliff. A story I like to tell is when little kids come into the library for the first time, they're a little nervous. And the second time, they have a little more confidence. The third time, they march in and say, "This is my big old mansion filled with books." And to me, that's the future. If we can just sustain that kind of affection and loyalty and get the kids involved with books and reading,
well,
no matter what form.
Are they coming back? Are books coming back? Because we know newspapers are, Stu's not here, so we can just whisper it, dying. And what about books? I mean, things with paper, are they coming back ever?
I think it's a hybrid for quite a long time. We have 300,000 cardholders, and the vast majority of those cardholders continue to use print items and enjoy using print items, including a lot of young people. We also have many new ebooks and e-audiobooks. It has a very popular use.
Of course.
We have a growing rate of people who are using the e-materials as well. So it's an and. It's not an or statement. At this point, our communities want both materials in print, and they want digital items as well.
And that's the message you have to get across of what's available to to the patron.
Yes.
And there's so many different things. Yeah. For your library, Joanne, I find it fascinating because, I mean, you're right in the heart of your community. So that becomes the community center, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely has. Yes, that's the charm of our little hamlet, and it's wonderful for us to be in the center of all that activity. We have young families that use it as their gathering place. Excuse me. That's what we cultivate, that personal touch, the custom service that people love, and the physical gathering in our community room. You just can't really reproduce that much.
So what are the hours?
Well, we're a small library relatively, and for our population, we are open more than the required amount, according to the state. We're open. The book part is open 27 hours. However, we have so much programming and so
well,
much
every day.
Other activity.
Can you give me an everyday idea?
I would say 5 to 6 hours a day, depending.
Okay, so different libraries have different...
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Depending on their size, depending on the needs of their community, and as Joanne mentioned, depending on at what level the library is used by its community and used in different ways. Mm-hmm. Programming is a very large, growing area of what we do. Last summer alone, in our summer reading programs, we had more than 65,000 people attend more than 3,700 programs delivered by our 66 libraries. More than 60,000 books were recorded as having been read by children and youth.
But people want you to do more, right? I mean, in my little town of Great Barrington, we have a wonderful library.
Yes.
But they close most nights early, like 5 o'clock. And I write newspaper columns about how if you're going to be a community center, you really have to be open more. And then they say, but we haven't got the money to, you know, to do that. It's a difficult thing. I mean, I went to the Donnell Library in New York City every night until 10 o'clock. Mm. That makes it a place for kids to come and study and young people to come and study and work. And that's tough.
Well, let me add something to that. We have programming that is at all hours, any hours. For instance, we created something called River Read with the Town of Esopus Library directly across the river from us, and we do art shows that aren't necessarily during the quote-unquote open hours. We have musical programs, and we have book clubs at any time. So really, when you look at all of the activities around programming like that, it can amount to an awful lot of hours in any given week with a lot of people visiting and taking advantage of the services that we offer.
Not for me to fight with you guys. and I admire the heck out of what you guys do. It's terrific. But I also think the certainty that a library will be open for a certain number of hours and that you can go there and you can study.
Can anyone take this up with your library?
Yeah.
This is more like that issue.
No, Joe. I know that you're being mildly critical, but I feel very strongly about it.
Well, no, I feel like your hours, you do what you can. Like your library is open from 10 to 7. So how long are...
Not every night.
Yeah.
Every night now?
Yeah.
I think you make a great point, which is that the ability for the library to serve the community is directly tied to the interest and the ability of the community to support the library.
Right.
And so we do have communities where the residents of those communities believe that the library should be open many, many hours, and they fund it as such.
Right.
We also have communities that do not create that level of funding, and so the library is not able to be open.
And that goes back to the first question I asked, which is the sort of mission of the, you know, of the libraries, whether they're losing their mission because people don't understand why libraries are important.
I don't think they're losing their mission. As I said, quoted to you, the use is actually up in libraries.
It's the perception, not the reality of what's going on.
I'd like to ask Joe, because he's so connected to libraries, does this reflect your experience of the library that you're... The libraries that you've been connected to?
Our numbers are up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all good.
When you say ours, you mean Greenwich?
But the libraries within the system. We're in the Southern Adirondack Library System, so those overall numbers are up. So, but the thing I think that is to the point is that the library can be open when you're not open. So if you want to go and you want to get a book and you want to get an online book, I can just go on and I can access all kinds of materials from my local library through the website whenever I want it.
Absolutely.
Good point.
Yeah. E-books, audiobooks, we are definitely the 24/7 library without walls component.
Right.
Literally millions of research articles, newspaper articles that are available through our databases that are available anytime that a person is looking for them. We actually are very surprised by some of our statistics because we find with e-books and database searching that a surprising amount of that is happening at 2 a.m.
Interesting.
So I don't know if it's the insomniacs or what, but it's definitely, we have an audience
when
the library is open. We also have an audience
when
the building is closed, but our resources and materials are available.
Okay, explain that. So if you want an e-book that is owned by the library, you can get it. Is that what you're saying?
Anytime. That is what we do. Yeah. All 66 of us cooperatively purchase the e-book, so they're available to anyone in the entire Valley.
Well, how do the publishers
area?
Feel about that?
Well, you pay for a copy. It doesn't mean that unlimited
no
number of copies.
No different than you would buy a book.
It's absolutely no different than, even though it's an e-book, you buy a single-use copy or you buy multiple copies so multiple people can use it simultaneously.
And after a week, it goes away.
Or two weeks or whatever. Weeks.
Yeah. What do you mean it goes away?
It goes away off your device.
Oh, yeah, no, I see what you mean. However, if I'm a publisher and I'm selling stuff that you could buy on your Kindle and he is giving out a library book for free, it seems to me that
how's that any different than going back to a library?
It's not. It's just another sign of the evolution of how we work all of this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to give you another story about the evolution, blending old and new. We're having a book discussion about Russell Shorto's The Island at the Center of the World on June 6th.
He's great.
And it just so happens that yesterday he said that he couldn't drop in on us physically, but he would be happy to join us by Skype.
Fantastic.
So that is, as far as I'm concerned, in our 110-year-old library, being visited by the author by Skype, it says it all to me.
That's good.
That's great.
Nothing wrong with that, is there?
Nothing wrong.
So what do you have coming up over the next couple months? You want to tell us?
Well, we've got some of the reading programs, activities that I was telling you about. River Read, we're talking about Edith Wharton's Hudson River Bracketed next Tuesday night at 6:30. The Morton Board is putting on a great event May 16th, which happens to be the birth and death day of Levi P. Morton, our founder. It's going to be a fundraiser with an art auction.
Life and
performance.
Death, same
yes.
day.
Can
wow.
you imagine?
Okay, no.
Like Shakespeare. And we just have music programs, theaters, book clubs, writing clubs, you name it. Something is on our calendar almost every day. And you can look, just search for Morton Rhinecliff, and you can see our calendar online. And you can sign up for our newsletter online, too. Just look in the left-hand column of our webpage.
Excellent. So, and Tom?
We are really getting started with our summer reading program. I mentioned a bit of that earlier. We have 66 libraries that reach out in the summer. Summer reading is so critical. Research has found that children actually can gain reading skills over the summer. One finding 52 Lexile points higher when students participated in summer reading versus not participating in summer reading. So go to your public library, sign up your children, your teens, your family for summer reading, and participate.
And I'd like to say that Sandy Bartlett, our children's librarian, is also having a good summer reading program for our kids, too. So I want to shout out and promote that.
All good stuff. Tom Sloan is the executive director of the Mid-Hudson Library System. Joanne Meyer is executive director of the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff. Thanks to you both for being here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.